Praise the Lord. It's good to have each one of you here today. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, it's really, really a good day today, and we've had some wonderful things. And first thing I want to tell you that for all of you that have been involved with the children, we've got a fantastic Christmas set aside for tomorrow over at Grapevine Lake. We're going over to Paradise Cove, and we're going to have the Christmas for the children. Anybody wants to come, you can come and be over there. They're going to come pick up a truckload of toys and gifts about 2 or 2:30 tomorrow afternoon, and then we'll drive them over to Grapevine Lake at Paradise Cove. And then Sharon and Miss Kim are going to pass out the gifts. It'll be different, but the children won't know the difference. So the only thing they'll know is they're going to get their heart's desire. And every time I think about this, I think about one year we were over there when we was out on the lake. The kids begin to come in. One little boy sat down right in front of me. Looked like he's about 8 or 9, 10 maybe. And he had a long face, and he looked awful. And the little girl that come in and sat down beside him, she's bouncing off the wall. And I said, "Son," I said, "what's wrong?" He said, "Well, I'm just not having a good day." I said, "Well, why is your little friend here? She's bouncing off the wall." And she said, "Oh, Mr. Scrivener, this is his first year. He don't know what he's fixing to get." So anyway, he didn't know what he was fixing to get. So in a little while, Christy and Cheryl started calling the names of these kids. Oh, y'all just have to forgive me. I can't help but cry. These little kids hardly ever get anything. But here this little guy was. They called his name. He said, "They just called my name." So I said, "Well, they got a gift for you up there." So he runs up there and gets his gift. I'm sorry. I can't have it. When I think about what I have and how blessed I've been and how underprivileged these people have been, I think, God, this is something. Sometimes I don't even say thank you. Sometimes I get up in the day and try to go through the whole day without fussing or something when I ought to be praising the King. This little guy run back and they give him a gift and he come. He's unwrapping it. And in a few minutes, they call his name again. He said, "Sir, they just called my name." I said, "That means you got another gift." He said, "I've never had a gift in my whole life. I've never had one. And you mean I'm going to get two?" I told him, "No, you're going to get more than that."
Amen. Amen.
After about the third gift, he quit. He got 10 gifts. Yeah. He had never had a gift. All of you people, y'all are the ones that makes this possible. Every year, this is 17 years we've been doing this for these kids.
Amen.
17 years. And I think some of the kids that'll be there this year have never gotten a gift in their life, not one. And because of the soft hearts of men and women like you. You give money, Sure, obviously God knew what he was doing. He knew what was going to happen. Because this year, I always started off from the ministry. We put a very significant gift into the Christ Haven Children Fund to start out. And then we ask people to give because we can't buy it all. I say we can't. I guess we could. God clearly says in his word, give and it'll be given to you. So
amen.
If you give something, if you're used to giving a dollar, try to give in $2 and see what happens.
Amen.
I'll tell you what'll happen. It'll come back to you many times over. If you are a skinflint and don't give nothing to nobody, have no compassion for nobody, and you don't give anything to anybody, I guarantee the scripture says you will die in poverty. But a man that gives will die as a rich man. And I've seen him do that. He has blessed me and Cheryl and some of you in this room. He's blessed you. And I'm so grateful that I've learned the privilege. But I want to thank everybody that's given. And everybody that'll be there tomorrow, those that'll come. And if you want to see a bunch of blessed kids, come out to Paradise Cove tomorrow night, tomorrow afternoon.
5 to 7.
5 to 7?
5 to 7, yeah.
5 to 7. We will have dinner for those kids. We'll provide for them. And then we'll hand out their toys and everything, and I think each child has got 10 small gifts and 2 large ones. So I'm going to be the first to tell you that when I was raising my own children, I never bought that kind of stuff even for my own children. That's just an abundance. But my kids could have anything they wanted anytime they wanted it. They could come in if they needed something, they needed a pair of shoes. And I didn't make any difference if it was the middle of the week, the first of the week, or the last of the week, I had a good job. I worked hard. And I was able to go and get the money or write a check or put it on a credit card and then pay it off at the end of the month. But I didn't have to worry. My kids had everything they needed when they needed it. These kids don't have that. My first wife, Betty, the one who got killed, we used to go to Bugger every year at Christmas and take a child or two and take them downtown to a store and buy them the rest of their school clothes for the rest of the year. They couldn't believe that somebody loved them enough to do that since their own parents didn't do that. Sometimes you and me are the only thing that people see about Jesus. So you need to leave a good imprint. You made a really good imprint. In other words, yesterday there was a lady sitting over here. She came to the healing school. We had a healing school yesterday, which was a rainy, cold day. But this lady came and she told us, she said, a few years ago, I came here and you and Cheryl prayed for me. And she said, I had a blood problem. And she said, I was instantly healed when y'all prayed for me. And then she had another little issue yesterday, so she hadn't come back all those years, 4 or 5 years ago when we prayed for her and she was healed. But she came back because she had another problem. Isn't that amazing? You go where you get results.
Amen.
I think every time I think about these kind of things and how they happen, I think about that little boy that had I forget what it was called, but there was something wrong with him, and I think it was, anyway, whatever it was, he had something wrong with him, and it was amazing that his mother and father went to another denominational church that don't believe much in healing. And so whenever this mother saw this boy and the problem he had, she went up to the pastor and asked the pastor if I could have my son prayed for and expect God to heal him. He says, no, we don't do that here. So she went to the Lord and she says, Lord, I went to your man and I asked him to pray over my son and heal him. And he said, we didn't do that here. So he says, what should I do? And she said, I had never heard of the Living Savior Ministries, but the Lord spoke to me audibly and says, take your son over to my son's church in the Living Savior and have Thurman pray for him and I will heal him. And I thought to myself, wow. They brought the boy over here. I prayed over him, remitted his sins, and prayed the prayer of faith for him. And they left. And it was only a few weeks that the mother and daddy called me back and said, our son is completely healed.
Amen.
Are you glad you serve a God that heals? Wow. Ain't he something?
He is awesome.
He is out of this world.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Wow. Praise the King. Now I want to do a little teaching today out of Proverbs. I want us to look at Proverbs. There's some, if we would take, if every daddy in this room, I mean, I'm not going to leave the mothers out, of course, but I feel that the responsibility to raise up children is the final authority, the final picture of the head is the husband. So he needs to be the one that reads the scripture to the children and prays over them. They need to see God move through their fathers, through their daddies. I hope all of you are in agreement with that.
Amen.
But if we would only do what he says. I mean, yesterday, last night, as Cheryl and I was talking, she was talking about how that the people up there in that rehab center where her and Christy are at in Colorado, how these people are in such critical shape. She said some of them are, said all of them that have a wheelchair of some kind. But she said some of them can't move a muscle from the waist down. Some of them can't move a muscle from the neck down. And some of them can't move a muscle nowhere. Totally, completely impaired. Can't move nothing. Wouldn't that be awful to think that if I wanted to raise my hand up, I couldn't do it? Have you ever, when the Lord says in his word, he's the one that gives you eyesight. He's the one that gives you hearing. He's the one that gives you taste. He's the one that gives you all your five physical senses. And so many of us, both men and women, we get so upset at the things that's going on in the world, we forget to say when we wake up in the morning that this morning, Lord, thank you that my arm works. Lord, thank you that my eyes, I can still see. Thank you that I can talk. Cheryl says some of these people up there in that retirement, that center where she's at, absolutely can't do anything. I mean, I know, Mary, you work in one of those, don't you? And you see people that can't do anything either, right? Isn't that amazing? And you know, still today, there's many of us, boys and girls, and young boys and girls, so much of the time, if the young boys and girls say, if they've not been trained right, when they don't get their way, they get all upset. They think that this is the way it should be. And you know, it's just amazing to me what we do and how we think. And we really need to sit down and read this magnificent book called the Book of Proverbs. If I could have a suggestion to every man or father in this room, if there's something that you would do, it would be that you would start today and read one chapter of the Book of Proverbs to your children every day.
Amen.
Chapter 1, or you could start on, what if it's the 10th day of the month, start at chapter 10, and then tomorrow chapter 11. But read the Book of Proverbs slowly and let them talk about it. And you're going to see why when we read these, some of these things, you're going to understand why I'm coming from where I'm coming from. Because I want to tell the whole church. I've already told a few people in here, so hopefully I can tell it again. But yesterday, Cheryl and Christy, Cheryl's with Christy 24/7. I mean, she's there all the time. I mean, she can't not be there. She wants to be there, so if something happens, good or bad, she can help her. Because I know that I've known of people that was, and Christy had a trach put in her throat. I have known of people that have a trach in their throat that they bled to death. There was nobody there, and they couldn't talk. They couldn't say anything, so they literally bled to death. And so Cheryl was going to make sure that didn't happen to her daughter. She's going to be right there with her 24/7. But yesterday, Cheryl has been laying hands on Christy and praying in the last few days. I told her, I said, how many times a day do you do that? She said, well, once or twice. And I said, well, don't just lay hands on her and once or twice a day. I said, many times a day, do like I did Caitlin. Put your hands on her body and say, body, I command you to move in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I said, just do that over and over and over. I said, not just once or twice, many times. And I said, is there other people in that ward up there? And she said, oh, yeah, lots of them. And I said, are you praying for them? She said, as a rule, I am. I pray for them every time I pray. I pray for these people. But she said, the doctors are amazed that this whole ward up here is getting well a lot faster than they expected. What did Jesus tell his kings? Are you a king? You're a king and a priest, and you're a son and a daughter of the living God, and his power is unlimited. There's no limit to what he can do. So you need to learn to lay hands on people like I did Caitlin way back there. And she said, well, I've been doing it some. And she said, in fact, today, she said, I had a great day today. She said, you know, the right leg, the right side is the one that wouldn't move. I said, yeah, I know. We've been praying about that every day. She said, I know. And today I said something about her right leg and said, Christy moved her right leg about a foot.
Yeah. And then she,
so she said, I said, you moved your foot. And so she moved it again.
Yeah.
And then Christy, before it was over, Christy had moved her leg 5 times.
Yeah.
And Cheryl's jumping up and down and screaming now all of a sudden. She's getting excited.
Yeah.
Things are getting exciting in the hospital.
Amen.
And she's praising the Lord. So she starts singing the first song she ever taught Christy. And lo and behold, to her surprise, Christy started singing the song with her. Wow. She almost didn't need a phone to talk to me last night. I hope y'all understand. Wow.
Yeah,
awesome.
Wow.
Thank
you, Jesus.
To think that God loves men and women,
yes,
his children, enough to use, give that kind of power.
Yes.
That when we speak in his name, he lets us speak his power.
Yes.
And it brings forth healing. And when Cheryl said the doctors don't understand that everybody in this ward up here, they're getting well a lot more rapid than they anticipated.
And
you have any idea why they're getting well?
The word.
We are praying.
Yes.
Remember, somebody, you know, the thing about it is, you don't have to be there.
No.
I remember places in the scripture where Jesus clearly told them, just like the little Syrophoenician woman, she wanted her daughter healed.
Yes.
He wouldn't even talk to her until she worshiped him. Do you think he loves worship?
Yes, he does.
Is he worthy of our worship?
Yes.
Very much so.
Yes.
But when we stand on his word and we do what he says, then just like Jesus did back in there with the Father, he didn't have to be there or lay hands on the daughter. He said, woman, you have great faith. You're not going to give up. That's just like I told Cheryl. I said, lay your hands on them people. I said, she said, but some of the people might not be Christians. They might not want me to. I said, okay, if they're there and they can hear what you're saying, as you walk up gently to their chair and just kind of lay your fingers or something on one arm or something or on any, somewhere where it won't not offensive. Just touch them and don't say anything. Just touch them.
Yes.
Because the word says, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He didn't say you had to pray or nothing. Just lay hands on them. And so, just can you imagine that woman? And I heard this woman. I know this woman when she's now gone on to be with the Lord. But one day this woman was going to up north somewhere. And she stopped at the airport in Kentucky, I believe it was, had changed planes. And she definitely was a believer.
Yeah.
Boy, was this girl a believer. And so anyway, she's that morning when she got on the flight, just like she always did every morning when she's going to go somewhere, whatever, she said, Lord, use me today for your glory.
Oh, praise God.
I mean, how many of us do that? Not enough, right? And need to all be doing that, right? Lord, use me for your glory.
Yes.
I'm your daughter. I'm your king. I'm your priest. I'm whatever. Use me to do something good today, Lord.
Yes.
And so she did that, and they said, Lord, thank you for using me in Jesus' name. And she goes and gets on her flight and flies over to Kentucky or wherever it was. She jumps off the airplane, and the airplane was late. The flight was late, so she's only got a few minutes. She's got to be at that other gate. She don't want to miss it. Because this airplane's going to be leaving in just a few minutes, and she's running down the terminal, running. You see people doing that all the time in the airports, right? It happens all over the place. So she's running down there, and all of a sudden, the Lord, her King, he speaks and says, you see that man over there in the wheelchair? She says, she's running. She says, yes, Lord. Go over there and lay your hands on him, and I'll heal him. She says, Lord, I ain't got time. I'm going to miss my flight. Then she thought, Lord, forgive me. I'm so stupid. I'm sorry. So she runs over there. She runs up to you. She says, I'm sorry, sir. I hope you don't take no offense, but be healed in Jesus' name. And then she just runs on off. She goes and gets on her flight, and everything goes good. No problem. Everything. So on the way home that night, she comes back through that same, after she speaks, wherever she's going to speak, she come back through that same airport, and there was the newest newspaper just come out, and it says some kind of an unknown woman comes by and lays hands on a man, and he was healed, and he got up and walked out of a wheelchair. Amen. Nobody even knew who she was. I know that woman, and I know her, and she told me that story personally, face to face. So I just thought, I said, now just think. Her name was Frances. I said, Frances, just think if you'd have not listened to the Lord. But I said, he wanted to heal that man. And because you took your second. And I mean, how long did it take her to do what she did?
Second.
Just a second. I mean, she just ran by and put her hands on him and said, sir, I hope you don't take offense, but be healed in Jesus' name. And then she's gone that quick. And the Lord healed that man, took him up. Walked off running and screaming around. We need to see more of those kind of things in our churches, in our hospitals, in our airports. We need to be able to see that, because if you get a hold of the fact of who you are, I don't know about the rest of you in here, but I'm a king's kid. I'm a king's son. He's my father. Jesus is my brother. He's my king of kings. And he's the healer, he's the provider, he does everything. And he's wanting, now just think, if we only ask him. But now, how many of us do that? We get up in the morning, what do? Go to breakfast. Oh, woman, you burned the toast. Instead of saying praise God for the toast. Do y'all see what I'm talking about? I don't know. I hope I didn't hit it. I hope I didn't hit it on the spot. Okay. But we do that. You know that? I've done that. It is sad that we do that. Instead of, I remember when Cheryl and I first got married, now this is the way it's supposed to be. I mean, I've missed the mark several times since then, but we got up one morning, and of course Cheryl works late when she was still singing. And she got up and went in there and made us some toast and a scrambled egg. She says, I didn't know that she never got up for breakfast. She never eats breakfast. So anyway, I always did, used to. So I got up in that morning, and as she made this toast and the eggs, when I went in there and sat down, she said, "Honey, I'm sorry, I only had one piece of bread, and I burned it." I looked at it, and I scraped it off a little bit, and I took a bite out of it, and I said, "That's just exactly the way I like it." Now, is that the way we should be to our wives all the time?
Yes.
She didn't burn that bread on purpose.
No.
You know, so what am I supposed to do? Jump up and down and scream and holler? And no, I was supposed to say, "Lord, thank you for the bread."
Yes, thank you for the bread.
Now then, if like I said, if you realize you're a king, you really realize you're a king, you can do those kind of things. But do you know how easy it is to forget you're a king? Do we all do that too often? We need to walk in love. When we walk in love, if we'll do what the Lord says and walk in love, then He'll do what He said He'll do. But if you don't walk in love, your faith don't work. Isn't that amazing? I want us to look at Proverbs chapter 1. I'm challenged every man. I don't care if you have children or don't have children. If you have a mate or don't have a mate, I'm going to challenge you in the next 2 or 3 months that every day you will read one chapter of Proverbs every day. And within 3 months you should have that done. And you should be able to read it, and you should be able to retain a big portion of it. But Dave, start reading and just read one verse at a time. And let's look at this and see what it says. One verse at a time, book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. Okay, no problem.
The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion.
Hold it a second. Did it say that it's giving some kind of instruction even to the simple?
Sure does.
If it's giving instruction to the simple, then it don't make any matter how simple I am. I'm going to learn something by reading Proverbs.
Yeah.
I mean, you may be a super trained child of the king already. But I guarantee you, if you'll get in Proverbs and continue to read that, I don't care how super you are or how simple you are, you're going to get something out of the Word of God.
Amen.
Okay, read on, Dave.
A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
Wait a minute, right there. Stop and think about this. What did that say? What was that last line?
The fear of the Lord.
The fear of the Lord. Let me explain something to you that may be kind of hard for me to do, but I got to tell you anyway. Who is really running everything on this earth?
Lord.
He's in charge, right?
Yes.
In other words, he says that life and death is in his hands.
Yes.
He does what he wants to do. He shows compassion on whom he will, and he does everything. In other words, He does everything, and if something good happens to you, who just blessed you?
The Lord.
If something bad just happens to you, who just did it?
The Lord.
I mean, when you look at that, when you stop and think about what that says, that he is in charge, he's in control, he's running the show. When you get in your heart, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When you begin to realize that he is who he is, and this book, it took me a long time to realize this book is an owner's manual for life.
Amen.
This book means what it says. It's not good suggestions. It's commandments that what you are to do and I'm to do, and if we will do those things, as we see what Proverbs is going to tell us in a few minutes, that God is going to use these Proverbs to change our life forever. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, if you don't think that, just like a daddy, if you're a young person and daddy has never given you a spanking, and he's told you, you know, that now don't do this. If you do, I'm going to give you a spanking or I'm going to do something. And you never do what you told him. He never does what he said he would do. After three or four or five times, he's not afraid of you anymore. He'll don't do anything. And it don't make a difference whether you're watching or not. He knows you ain't going to do nothing. Some of your children learn real quick whether you're a liar or whether you're a truth teller. They know. And if you're a liar and you don't do what they say, then you go do what you want to do. And then one day you get grown. Your daddy never reprimanded you. One day you're out driving your nice car and you're driving too fast. And a police officer pulls up beside you and blows his whistle and says, pull over. And you think, he's a sign of authority. I don't have to do what he says. So he hits the gas and speeds off. Does this happen?
Yeah.
All the time. And so because daddy didn't reprimand him, he don't believe the police officer will. And then whenever the guy gets cornered, he'll just say something crazy. You know, I know you're not going to hurt me. Son, don't reach for that gun. I'd hate to have to kill you. What? You ain't going to hurt me. I'm going to reach and get that gun anyway, just like that kid did down there on top of them cars here a while back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And isn't that a shame?
Yeah.
He was going to kill that police officer, so that police officer had nothing left to do but shoot him or get killed himself. Those kind of things are happening all the time because daddies don't do what they're saying, and daddies are not reading the Word of God to their children, and daddies are not being the father that they need to be, and they're not telling their children, I said for you to do this, now I mean it. And I tell you one time, listen, I don't understand why I did this. I was a little 10 or 12 year old boy. And my mother used to have those little round bowls, little ones about that big around, about that tall, with round toothpicks sitting on the table. Some of you may have seen those. My daddy, I don't have any idea why I did what I did that day. But I happened to look over there, and I reached up and got one of those and pulled it over. And when I did, I turned the little thing over, and the toothpicks went all over the floor. And so my dad said, well, son, just pick them up. I said, no. I don't understand why I did that. I just don't understand still to this day. I don't understand why I did that. He said, son, pick up the toothpicks. Now, all I had to do was take that little, pick up a little bitty thing and put them in. It wouldn't take 2 minutes. But when he told me the second time, I says, no. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Dad got up and he walked around and said, son, I'm just going to tell you one more time. pick up those toothpicks and put them back in that little holder. And I just bowed up and said, I ain't going to do it. He took me by the shoulder, and we walked outside, and he pounded me until I thought I was dead. To this day, I still don't have any idea why I done such a stupid thing. But let me tell you what God was doing there. He was training me that my daddy was a bearer of the sword. And that the consequences for not obeying Dad were very, very painful. For days in the future, they were painful. So it didn't just hurt for a little while, it hurt for several days. But from that day forth, I remember one night we were down at the city red light. There was a bunch of flat-top buildings go right up to the red light. And there was a ladder on the back where you could crawl up that ladder and get on that building. One year during Halloween, one or two of the boys got a case of eggs, and they took them down there and put them up on top of the building. And I went out there and crawled up that ladder and got up there, and they were going to have people come to that light. They were going to throw these eggs at their car. And I got up there, and I saw what they were doing, and I said, I'm out of here, guys. I'm out of here. No, come on, Thurman. Nobody will ever know we're up here. I said, no. I said, nobody but God. I said, I don't have a clue how my daddy might find out, but if he ever found out I was on top of this building throwing eggs at cars that stopped here, I guarantee I wouldn't be able to sit down for a month. So I said, you guys can have it. You can do what you want to, but I'm out of here. And so I left. Now then, if my daddy hadn't have been that kind of a daddy, if he'd let me get by with murder, you might say. Do you know that's why we have so many people that are in prison and everything today? Because they didn't have that daddy. That daddy don't know this scripture. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't know him, let me tell you. The God that I know and serve, since I know he's in charge of everything, on down a little further in Proverbs, we're going to come to a scripture, probably not today, but we're going to see a scripture that says, the curse of the Lord is on the hands, on the house of the wicked. You've read that one, haven't you? What do you think that means? The curse of the Lord. You mean God has a curse that's set aside that he puts on people that do not obey what he says? He says, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked. What does it take to be considered? Somebody says, but I'm not a wicked. Wait a minute. Do you know that in the scripture it says there when a man holds a grudge, an unforgiveness against another man, God says you are a wicked servant?
Yep.
Do you know that that's awful to think about a child of God being a wicked servant? Yes. But God calls us wicked servants, doesn't he, Miss Jackie?
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
So if you're, and then of course, you know, you have no idea as a young man or a young woman, if you hadn't had a daddy that'll read the Proverbs to you, and you have no fear of God, you have no fear of daddy or nothing else, and so I can assure you that you're going to have problems on this earth. And like I said, one of the things that I see, as Cheryl quotes to me, these things that she sees up there every day, the people that can't talk, the ones that can't move, some of them can't move anything. I mean, they're totally paralyzed from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. And some of them are never going to get well because, technically speaking, the curse of the Lord is upon these people. Do you know that?
Yes.
Do you know that God could heal those people in one heartbeat?
Yes. Amen.
You know, when I see and think about that story of that pastor that down in Alabama, I believe it was, that there was a boy that had 20-something diseases. He couldn't talk, walk. In fact, he had particles missing on his body. One ear was—he was born without an ear. He had all kinds of knots on his body. I mean, he couldn't talk. His tongue was. In fact, Cheryl even told me there was one person up there that their tongue hangs out of their mouth, hanging straight down. They can't pull it in or push it out.
My Lord.
Now, you don't know how lucky you are. You don't know how blessed you are. But she's telling me about this, and then I think about this little guy. I think about this woman that had this baby. She didn't understand what caused her baby to be like that. She had no idea, but God knew. And she believed with all of her heart if she could get that boy over to that city, and I think it was in Alabama, wherever it was, and have this man pray for her child, that she could get her baby healed.
Amen.
So she took the child. I remember very well listening to R.W. Shambach tell the story.
Yes, sir.
Some of you have heard him tell that story. It was awesome. I've heard it. Maybe I'll do it justice, maybe I won't, but I'll try to tell it the best way I heard it. She brought that little boy down there and was there every day for a week. They had services morning and evening for a week. She took him up for prayer every time. She'd been doing it forever, every day for a week, and nothing, absolutely nothing. So finally, the Friday night or Saturday night, I think it was Saturday night, the last night of the meeting, R.W. said, I was over there, and this woman was over there with her baby, and I went over and I said, ma'am, what is wrong with this child? She said, well, he was born without that ear. He's born without, I forget what. He had so many parts missing.
No eyes.
Yeah, he had so many parts missing and tore up and not working and everything. And she said, I thought I could bring it to where there was a true man of God. And I know this man is a true man of God. And I was bringing my son for him to pray for him to see if God would heal my son. But she said, I'm running out of money. She said, I have $20 left in my name. My car is out of gas, and I'm going back. I got to go back home tonight, tomorrow, and I'm totally out of money. I don't have nothing. But she said, I was hoping I could get my son healed, but nothing's happened. So R.W. said, they had the intercession, and then they had the continuation of the meeting. And he said he started preaching, the pastor. He's preaching and talking about, and all of a sudden he said, he just dumbfounded. He looks and he says, I see a hospital over there. The Lord's showing this man a vision right in the middle of his service. He said, it's a white building. It looks like a hospital. He said, it is a hospital. He said, it's a maternity ward. There's babies being born in there. Said, there's a child just born in that hospital. It's got 3, 6, 12, 24 incurable diseases. Just born. Wow. And then he said, I see that woman lives in another city. She's getting in a car with another woman and they're driving. He said, woman, you're here in this meeting today. Boy, if you ever thought about God being somewhere, he's there. He says, woman, are you back there? If you are, stand up. 4,000 people there. She stands up. He says, bring that baby down here. She brings that little baby down there in her arms, 4 or 5 years old now. He said, let me have that child. He reaches down and takes that baby out of her arms. He's never seen. He can't see. He's totally blind. Can't see, can't hear, no ear, nothing. I mean, it's amazing to see this child. And he says, now then, I'm going to pray the prayer of faith. I'm going to pray for the forgiveness of sin and pray for the healing of this baby. I want everybody in this place to bow your head and pray with me. R.W. said, they can all bow their head and pray if they want to, but I'm going to see what God did. He said, after what I heard her say, I ain't about to close my eyes. Well, I don't blame him. I'd want to see too, wouldn't you, Baron? I want to see this. I love seeing what God does and how he does it. I love serving the King of Kings. So he held that little boy up and he said, Lord, heal this child in Jesus' name. So the first thing happened, that tongue that was hanging out like a roller, it went just zip right back in his mouth, and his tongue worked perfect. And all of a sudden, the ear that was completely gone, this beautiful ear, right in that second, 1 second. What can our God do?
Anything.
We need to learn that, hey, he's God. And so don't ever miss an opportunity or a chance to get somebody healed, because he can do exceedingly abundantly above anything you can even think or imagine. Don't cut him short. We cut him so short, we say, well, I know you got a headache today and you've had it a couple of days, but maybe God will heal you, maybe he won't. No, my God, don't say that. Just reach your hand on and say, be healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Headache, I command you to go. I mean, do something in faith. And, but that boy, when it was all, this thing's going and the ear goes back in and everything starts working, and the knots that were on the top of his head just, and he's down his back, just disappeared.
Amen.
Everything. And then the little boy, which had never took a step or run or nothing, he jumps out of his shambok, I mean out of the pastor's hands, hits the floor like this, runs to the edge of the platform and jumps out into the arms of his mother, which he's never seen her before in his life, never heard her. And he says, Mama. That's the God that we serve, ladies and gentlemen, and he's able to do anything. So that's why I told Cheryl up there, I said, honey, whatever you do, don't cut him short. I mean, lay hands on people. If there's nobody there to see what you're doing, say, in the name of Jesus, I command your body to be healed. If there's happened to be somebody there and you feel like compelled to like do something, just walk over there and touch them. In the name of Jesus. Is that all you got to do,
that's
Kim?
All you got to do.
You don't have to say a word. Don't have to do nothing. Just touch them. And we've seen people right here get healed when we touch them. Yeah, I mean, I've seen it over and over and over. So, the book of Proverbs is such an awesome book. And read on, Dave, nice and loud and clear.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Now, anybody that would try to tell you that there's not a God, they got a problem.
Amen.
I mean, just think, to believe that there is no God. My brother-in-law, the guy married to my sister, he was at Normandy Beach. He said, on the way over to Normandy Beach, there was people that were laughing, saying there's no God. They were playing cards. They were cutting up. They were doing things. But he said, when we hit that beach, those boys that said there was no God, when all of a sudden a man would get blowed plumb in two, sitting right beside you, or a bomb hit right there and blow a hole in the ground, and somebody fall in it in pieces. Ladies and gentlemen, that really happened. I mean, that really happened. My brother-in-law, that's unbelievable, but both of the men that were married to my sister in their life went to Normandy Beach.
Wow.
They were both in the battle. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Wow. It is. It's so amazing. But if we only knew, we wouldn't have the wars, we wouldn't have the problems. If we just read the book of Proverbs,
yeah.
If we would read it, and like Dave's reading it here, and read on, Dave.
Next verse. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives.
Just think. The number of wonderful young men that could be doing good things for people. They're out robbing, stealing people's homes and killing each other. And you know why that's happening to so many young boys?
No
fear of God and no daddy in the home. It's just unbelievable that boys have no guidance and direction today. And when they don't have that direction, when a boy gets to be 14 or 15 or 16 years old, if they ain't a daddy in the home, you know, I've seen this before. In fact, my first wife's brother-in-law, he was gone from home a whole lot. He was a truck driver. And all he ever did to his kids was scream at them. He never done anything else. He just screamed at them. Those kids did everything they wanted to do. One time, Tim and one of their sons, well, we wanted to go down to my mother and dad's for a little while, so he wanted to go with us. I told him, okay, you can go with us, no problem. So we get in the car, and on the way down, he is just tearing up everything. I mean, he's jumping and kicking and kicking in the back of the seat. And all, I slowed down, and I said, son, quit hitting the seat, sit back there, we're in transit. I don't want nobody to get hurt, so I says, quit beating on the back of the seat. Okay. So we pull out and he starts again, and he starts doing it again almost immediately. So I kind of slowed down and I said, Bobby? He said, yes. I said, did you hear what I said? He said, yes. I said, well, then why are you still doing it? He said, well, I don't know. I said, okay. So I'm just going to tell you one more time. You don't do that no more. If I tell you to quit kicking the back of the seat, I mean for you to sit up there like a little man and quit kicking the seat. Do you hear me? He said, yes, I do. Okay. So I pulled on the road. I get 100 yards down the road, and he's kicking it again. I pulled off. I don't say where I pulled off, stopped, opened the door. I said, get out. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm fixing to beat the hell out of you. He said, you're going to do what? I said, I'm fixing to beat the hell out of you. I said, you got some hell in you. It's coming from a demon of hell. And I'm going to beat him out of you so you can do what? So you can hear what I say. And Tim was sitting in the back seat with him. He said, Bobby, if daddy tells you to do that, you better do what he says because he always backs up what he says. So he said, okay, I promise I won't do it no more. I said, okay. I said, there ain't going to be no second time. I said, if you don't obey this time, I'm just going to stop and beat you. Do you understand? He said, yes, sir. Let me tell you what, that boy sat in that seat, he never moved till I got home. But you know what changed the difference? Another boy, a little boy, told him, said, my daddy will do what he says. And that's exactly, and let me tell you, how did Tim know that? He got by. In fact, Tim told me as he got big. Tim told me one day, he said, Dad, you were too easy on me and Amanda when we were growing up. He said, if I ever have kids of my own, I ain't going to be near as easy on mine as you were on us. Oh, but that didn't turn out to be true either. You don't like beating on your children. That's not what it's all about. But there is a thing called discipline that you have to discipline your children. Amen. If there is no daddy in the home to discipline the children, then if you're a mother and you got a 10, 12, 14-year-old coming on up to be 20, and he's not obeying because there's no daddy in the home, you've got a problem. You've got a real problem. And it's so sad. Okay, Dave, read on.
So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil.
Okay, I'm going to say something right here. You've seen people that say the healing don't work. And the reason it don't work is right here. You've not done what I said. You didn't do what I told you to do. You went ahead and done the things I told you not to do. And because you've done those things, now then your calamity is going to come upon you. I'm going to see to it. And then when your calamity gets so bad, you get, who knows how bad you've been and what you've done and how what kind of condition your body is or everything else. Now then people are saying, we need somebody to pray, 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 pray. But he says, I don't hear your prayer. I will not hear you. Is that scary? If we would take these scriptures and read these scriptures, every daddy that reads those scriptures, if he believes this book is an owner's manual for life, and if you don't tell your children what's right and wrong, they're going to go the wrong way, I can guarantee you. Daddy has to be there to train those children. I mean, it just amazes me. The poor mothers, like Cheryl, she was trying to raise two kids by herself. I mean, you got to work. You got to provide a place for these kids to stay, for them to sleep, and for them to eat, and all this kind of stuff. And you got to work. In fact, I know Cheryl, growing up, she worked sometimes two and three different jobs to provide because her husband ran off on her and left her. I think that's so sad.
It is.
I think it's so sad that we don't take care of our own. That's life. So some boys growing up, if they don't have a good daddy at home, then what do you expect your children to turn out like? They're not going to turn out like you want them. They need to be trained by a good daddy. Where are we going to get good daddies? Out of that book.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
If any daddy does not know the book, and if he doesn't know the Proverbs, he needs to be reading it every day. And I'll tell you, if you read it every day, you won't ever have that time come when you're... In fact, I'll tell you a story about a young boy. I went out to DFW Airport one day, And there was a young man in there with his daddy, and I wanted him to do some work for me. And his daddy said, "Thurman, would you talk to my son about Jesus?" And so I said, "Sure." I said, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "No." I said, "How would you like to be a Christian?" He said, I don't want to be one." I said, "Well, why?" He said, "Because I like sowing my wild oats." I said, "Well, you don't realize it's going to take you into a pit of hell. I mean, is that what Proverbs said a while ago?
Yes.
It's going to take you into the abyss and take you into hell." So I said, I looked at his daddy was sitting right here under the steering wheel. I looked right across at him, right in the eye, and I said, "Son, the scripture says the reason you're lost is because the God of this world has blinded your mind to the truth. I have power over that beast." And so I said, "Satan, you and your cohorts, I command you to come out of this boy and leave him alone and stop blinding his mind to the truth." I said, "Now, Father, I ask you to convict the boy of sin and draw him into the kingdom." And I said, "Lord, thank you. It's done in Jesus' name." I said, "Now, son, how would you like to make Jesus Lord of your life?" He said, "I'd love it." I led the boy to Jesus right there, and I told him. And I said, "Now, son, when I leave you, you have some friends." His daddy said, "Well, he's doing some drugs." I said, "Well, we're going to kick the devils and demons out of him." But I said, "Son, you need to find yourself some new friends." I said, "These boys that are taking you down the primrose path, they're not your friend. They're your enemy, and you don't even know it. But I said, you will learn. The Holy Spirit will show you. I said, I want you to quit spending time with these friends and find you some new friends, some good friends, some Christian friends. Will you do that?" He said, "Yes, sir, I will." Okay, only 2 or 3 weeks goes by, and his daddy called me one day and says, "Thurman, my son's down here at Baylor Hospital in Grapevine, and he's had some kind of, I forget what they call it when you get cold.
Frostbite.
No, it's something else.
Hypothermia.
Hypothermia. That's what it was. Yeah, I couldn't think of that. So he said, "My son's down here in the hospital in Grapevine with hypothermia." Said he was on the way home last night, and he got drunk with his friends, and he got to the house, opened the door, and stepped out and passed out in the yard. Had a short sleeve shirt on. He laid out there and nearly froze to death. It wasn't freezing, but it was cold. You know, you can have hypothermia whenever it's 40 or 50 degrees. So anyway, he said, "Will you come down and pray for my boy?" I said, "I will." So I went out and got in my truck, and I drove down to the hospital. I walked up to him. I found his dad. His dad was waiting for me at the door when I got there. I walked in, and I looked at his son, and he's sitting there, and he can't move or nothing. He's just sitting there. He can blink his eyes. That's about the only thing he can do. I walked up to him, and the whole family was there. They'd called in the whole family. I walked up to him and I said, "Son, you didn't do what I told you, did you?" I said, "I told you to get you some new friends." I said, "You still hung out with those guys when I got drunk last night?" And I said, "The devil almost killed you." I said, "Now then, do you want to live or die? It's up to you." I said, "If you want to live, blink your eyes." Boy, he's getting them eyes going. I mean, you know, boys, they're stupid. I mean, young boys are stupid. They really are, so you got to treat them like they are. So anyway, I told him, I said, "Now, if you want to live, you're going to get you some new friends. Will you promise me if I pray for you and ask God to heal you and he heals you, that you'll find some new friends?" Boy, he blinked his eyes again. I said, "So I'm understanding you that you repented and you're going to ask God to forgive you, and he's done that, and now then you're going to find you some new friends, and you're going to stop running around with these crazy boys." And he blinked his eyes 3 or 4 times there. I said, "Okay, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to guarantee you're going to get well." So I said, "You better do what I tell you."
Amen.
"Because if you don't do what I tell you next time, then God will let him kill you."
Amen.
So anyway, I prayed for him, laid hands on him, prayed for him, commanded the spirits to leave, for him to be healed, turned to walk out and started down the hallway. One of the aunts came and she said, "You're the most uncompassionate person I've ever seen in my life. That boy's dying, and here you come in and treat him like he's..." I said, "Ma'am, I know exactly what I'm doing.
Amen.
I know the God that I serve, and when I make a statement about him, what he said, I didn't even know myself back in those days. I started to say, when my king talks, he does what he says he'll do.
Amen.
So anyway, the lady, I told her, I said, don't worry about it. You're going to be, he's going to be okay. I guarantee it. She said, you don't know that. I said, I do know that. I know who's in control here. And it ain't me, it's Jesus.
Amen.
And I know the one's in control. So I go home, and the next morning, the daddy called me and said, Thurman, they released my son from the hospital this morning. He's totally well. That boy got some new friends. That's one thing you don't want your boys hanging out with the wrong kind of friends, right?
That's right.
Here's a man up here. He's got two young boys. He don't want them hanging out with the wrong boys. Because we know that this proverb is true, and the wrong friends will take you down the wrong path, right? And they'll cost you all kinds of problems. Okay, how many verses would like being to the end of that, Dave? Huh? Oh, that is it? Okay, come on, just exactly right. Okay, prayer warriors, you all stand up. Praise the Lord, my prayer warriors, stand up. If you need to be prayed for, these people will pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you for blessing everybody here today, giving us such a good day. And we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for what you're doing out there in the hospital with Cheryl and Christy. I'm so grateful that you're the King of Kings and you're doing a great work. And you're going to change everybody in that hospital, everybody. Cheryl's going to get bolder every day with her laying on of hands and praying the prayer of faith. Because when she prays, then I can be in agreement with her.
Amen.
Even though we're only a phone call away, it's still like we're side by side.
Amen.
And that's the way it works. Now, Lord, thank you for blessing us. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You are dismissed.